Everyone, welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home that were just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done, we're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life, and I'm looking forward to bringing today's guest into our Children's Authors Alley. Julie Bomer is a children's book author and the mother of two boys, ages 7 and 9. After years of reading bedtime stories to her children, she began creating her own stories. And when her youngest, who was in kindergarten at the time, declared, "I love it," after one of her stories, she decided to pursue publishing with hopes to bring as much joy as her son experienced in story to all children. She has already published Santa's Reindeer Hide and Seek, 10 Little Pumpkins Hide and Seek, and her newest book, The Strange Thing Forest. So with all that being said, Julie, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you, Dori. It's nice to be here.
It's really nice to have you on the show. And I would love for you to take us on your journey because it must have been so much fun to have your son make you realize, wait a minute, maybe I could just do this. So tell us a little about it.
Absolutely. Well, for many years at bedtime, I'd read books that they would check out of the school library, or I'd order books, go to Barnes & Noble, buy some, bring them home. And every time I finished a book, the boys would always ask for just one more story. So I would always say, okay, I'll tell you one with the lights off, just to get them into the bedtime mode so they weren't awake looking at pictures. So I would turn the lights off in the dark and go through any story that I remembered, everything from Little Red Riding Hood to The Three Little Pigs, all the classics. Well, eventually I ran out of verbal stories. So I just began making up my own stories. And in doing so, I really learned what my children liked or didn't like. And The Strange Thing Forest came about when my youngest declared that he loved it, as you said. So that really inspired me to take the initiative and to start writing. And after The Strange Thing Forest, I thought, well, what else have they liked? You know, what else could I create for children? And I went back to Santa's Reindeer and 10 Little Pumpkins Hide and Seek, just remembering my kids loved and still love hide and seek. When they were in that 2 to 4 range, they loved learning all about Santa. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was their favorite Christmas song. And of course, at Halloween, they loved pumpkins. And when they were learning to count, there was a lot of repetition, a lot of rhyme, and that really worked for them. So I turned my two books, 10 Little Pumpkins Hide and Seek and Santa's Reindeer Hide and Seek, into rhyming educational books for that 2 to 4-year-old age group to have fun while they learn. And those two I actually created while I was waiting for The Strange Thing Forest to come out. So I had about a year and a half of a time frame where I created the three books all at once.
Wow, that's a prolific year and a half.
Yeah.
Did you do the illustrations for your book or did you have an illustrator?
For The Strange Thing Forest, I went through a publishing company who provided their own illustrator. And with 10 Little Pumpkins Hide and Seek and Santa's Reindeer Hide and Seek, I created my own illustrations with clip art. I always say I can't draw. I'm just not a very good drawer, but I could see in my head how I wanted the pictures to look. So I used any clip art available to create the best thing I could to match the pictures in my head.
Wow, how cool is that? And you said the age group, it's that 2 to 4 year age range, or Strange Thing Forest for older kids?
The Strange Thing Forest is for older kids. That actually was inspired by my second grader's homework assignment. So the story came about as a result of his assignment, and my youngest was in kindergarten at the time. So my kindergartner declared that he loved it. He had just turned 6. And I've been into the schools to read, especially to my kids' classes and their previous teachers and their current classes. And I've really discovered the kindergarten to third graders really love The Strange Thing Forest.
Tell us a little about it.
Yeah, The Strange Thing Forest is about a boy who goes on an adventure walk. My story is based on the boy because it was my second grade boy's homework assignment. So he's kind of the main character. The character is inspired by him. And he always wears these red tennis shoes that he loves to run in. So I started out creating the story with the boy walking through a forest, and he steps into the forest wearing red tennis shoes. And as he begins to walk, his shoes change colors. He looks down to discover one orange shoe and one green shoe. He thinks that's strange. He entered the forest wearing red shoes, and now he has one orange and one green shoe. So that's kind of the intro, and it goes through many different kid-friendly and kid-appropriate strange things that happen. There I just talked about shoes changing colors. As he continues on the walk, he finds an ice cream cone tree. He continues on and finds bubblegum-flavored water. So there's just really fun adventures that, you know, as a kindergartner to third grader, you would think, wow, that would be really cool if that actually happened on a hike. Things that kids could relate to, flavors they like, colors they like. So I don't want to spoil the entire book, but those are some examples of what takes place on his adventure walk.
I love that you are tapping into the things that kids really love. And then, wow, wouldn't that be cool? Imagine
right.
If this happened. I mean, because I love to read and you can get lost in a book, but then you can kind of get inspired by a book and it makes you think ahead and what if this and what if that. And I love things like that, especially for kids, because let's face it, that's where they learn to love to read.
Right. And my oldest child now is kind of getting to the age where he feels like he's too cool to read. So I try to create engaging stories that will keep him intrigued. And what I've found is if I keep the book suspenseful, so he can't predict what's going to happen, he'll keep reading or keep listening to find out what's going to happen. And also a lot of my stories are created or read to my kids or created for my kids at bedtime. And going back to, you know, Little Red Riding Hood and the Three Little Pigs, when I was telling my kids the stories, they didn't like the part where the wolf ate grandma and the wolf was dressed up ready to eat Little Red Riding Hood. Like that was really scary for them, you know, the first few times they heard it. And same with like the Three Little Pigs. You know, the wolf dies at the end. They killed the wolf. So I noticed like that was kind of traumatic, I think, for the 4 to 5 year olds, especially and younger. So rather than creating harsh endings, I also created very happy and comforting endings. So at the Strange Thing Forest ending, the boy actually runs all the way home where nothing is strange. And that's exactly how he likes it. So kind of puts him on this fun adventure, like what if that were to happen, but it's kid friendly, kid appropriate, it doesn't scare them, and then it leaves them with a sense of peace and comfort that everything's okay, I can fall asleep, I'm not going to have bad dreams. So I've just tried to incorporate all of those aspects of their reactions into the stories as well.
You know, it's amazing to me, most people don't realize how incredibly violent fairy tales are. They're original fairy tales. Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. The stepsisters, one cuts off her toes, the other cuts off the heel of her foot. Fairy tales weren't supposed to be comforting stories. They
no,
were supposed to be scary, lesson learning. Let me put the fear of all these things into you. And as we as parents are not wanting to traumatize our children, things have gotten more sugar-coated and this and that and everything else, but it is true. They're very frightening things that happen in stories. And just because something is cartoonish, quote, I'm doing little finger quotes in the air, does not always mean it's for children. Look at The Simpsons. When The Simpsons came out, people let their children watch it because it was a cartoon, not realizing that that started on Tracy Ullman's 11 p.m. show, because it was never meant for kids. It was an adult comic strip. But again, people have that false, how do you combat that? Like, how do you let people know that this is something that's going to be encouraging and uplifting and inspiring and yeah, you know, a little strange, but fun.
Right. Well, I mean, just if you read the back cover, I'll read it to you just so if anyone were to pick up the book and say, what is this book about? I try to portray that in the summary of what the book is about. The explanation of the book or description says, a young boy takes a walk through the strange thing forest where many strange things happen. On his journey, he experiences changing colors, ice cream cones growing on trees, cartoons, and more. Join him on his wild adventure in the strange thing forest to spark your imagination and relax into the comforting ending. So I try to say that in the summary. So there isn't going to be a shock value, but there is going to be kid-friendly suspense, kid-friendly, age-appropriate, strange, and comforting and relaxing, you know, just like the cover says. So I really try to just create that in the description of the book. And also when I promote it, I always say kid-friendly, age-appropriate to kind of let you know what's age-appropriate for a 2 to 4 year old or a 5 to 8 year old may not be the same as something that's age appropriate for a 16-year-old. And I would think, you know, parents should probably understand that as well.
On that note, think of what Julie said. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back here in just a moment on Word of Mom Radio.
She is brave. She is bold. She is you. And we want to tell your story. Are you ready to share your journey with us on Word of Mom Radio? Go to wordofmomradio.com and register as a guest. We want to tell your story because when you win, we all win.
In 2017, Unsilenced Voices was formed to help survivors of domestic abuse and gender-based violence worldwide. The organization currently serves Sierra Leone, Rwanda, Ghana, and the USA. In 2022, Unsilenced Voices gifted over $33,000 to survivors in the USA. And in Sierra Leone, there are over 26 young girls who have been rescued from sex trafficking and domestic abuse and now going through vocational training school in order to better their lives. We need your help. Donations are critical in order for us to continue our work. We also need volunteers to help with research and development. Please visit unsilencedvoices.org for more information.
Don't let the name fool you. StadiumBags.com is not just for sports fans. Our clear bags make it easier for you to get into any venue that you go to. And in today's world where we are so concerned about germs, the materials that our bags are made with are strong enough to stand up to the solvents that you can use to clean your bag so you know you come home safely. Check out StadiumBags.com. You'll see why we are the clear choice. Because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with author Julie Bomer. I like what you said, and I like that you encourage parents to be doing age appropriate. And I mean, every child's different. There are some kids that are more advanced. There are some 7-year-olds that really want something that's geared for a 2 or 4 year old. Everybody has to make those decisions for their children, especially when they're young, because like anything, the more you encourage a child to learn and create and use their imagination, the more it's going to foster that and that wanting to read another book, because it's a wonderful thing to share that. So what kind of books are you looking for in the future? You have these three out. What's next for you?
Well, I have several manuscripts ready to go right now. So I'm actually working with the current publishing company on a potential contract for my second book. And I have others where it might be better with a different publishing company or to be self-published. So I'm exploring options right now. And one thing about the books, the 10 Little Pumpkins and Santa's Reindeer, those were educational books. And all of my other books are not educational books. They're strictly stories where there's no lesson learned per se. They're just kid-friendly entertainment, to inspire kids to read. So I don't do the lesson learned themes. I try to make them really fun. So I kind of talked about The Strange Thing Forest. In another book I have coming out eventually that I would like to hopefully do with my current publisher, it's called The Camping Mystery. And it has to do with two boys that go camping with their dog and their family. And as they leave the tent, strange things happen and people or dogs keep disappearing into the darkness. So they hear all these sounds, but there's this huge mystery about what's happening. And then at the end of it, it wraps up. All the questions are answered. It's very comforting again. So you have the suspense, you have the intrigue. Now you're imagining the sounds they're hearing as they're explained in the story. And you're just wondering what's going to happen. Is it this big scary monster? And then at the end, it all makes sense. And it just allows kids to, oh, phew, you know, that was good to find out that's where those noises were coming in and just enjoy the story and fall asleep. So that's one of them where I think I could use the same forest as well as the same boy from the first book and maybe a brother to go with them. So I'd kind of like to do that with the current publisher. And then I also have some other books. One is called The Giant Gumball Machine, where a little boy on his birthday really wants this giant gumball machine that he's always dreamed of. And instead, he receives a mini gumball machine. Well, he goes to bed disappointed and very sad and wakes up to a magical potion that he dumps on the machine and it turns it into one as high as the sky. So that's really a fun, like, imaginative birthday story. That kind of was inspired by Jack and the Beanstalk, just the kids loving the giant theme, Alice in Wonderland, the little potions that go with it. And then kids, like my younger child especially, will talk about his birthday for months. Like, he's all about birthdays and birthday parties. So that one, just again, a fun birthday adventure, you know, would be a great birthday gift or just a fun read. So I'm really working on a few different manuscripts that have different story themes going on in them. Again, nothing themed or lesson learned, just things that kids would enjoy that keep them intrigued so they can't predict what's going to happen. They have fun with the story and it comforts them at the end.
I like that with the camping story that The Strange Thing Forest kind of ties in.
Mm-hmm.
I love things like that, that are independent of each other, but it's going to kind of want to spark them to read The Strange Thing Forest. Wait a minute, where did this forest begin? And things like that. So I have to ask you, as an author, what kind of books do you like to read?
I haven't read many books outside of children's books for the last few years. But outside of that, I mean, growing up, I loved the Nancy Drew books, Sweet Valley High, Adventures in Babysitting, or The Babysitter's Club, all those types of books I really was drawn to when I was younger. As an adult, I do more like biographies, autobiographies. I love anything self-help, like positive thinking, positive affirmations. So I don't really get into novels or imagination. And I think part of that is just, it's so many responsibilities to all the time. So I try to do things that are going to keep me moving forward and not distract me from real life. And, you know, once my kids are grown and I have more time, I'd likely get back into more fantasy novels at that time. But right now it's more, how can it help me with my real life or inspire me or encourage me or uplift me?
Doing this show, I always read our guests' books and I interview a lot of authors. So I can't remember the last time I picked up a book that was just to pick up a book. I'll actually do audio books on tape because I do a lot of driving. And that's how I will get a different, has nothing to do with the radio show, and enjoy that. Because if I'm going to sit down and read, you know, I may have three or four books a month to read for, I guess, and I want to be able to discuss the books. It was the same reason that I asked for yours. It's fun to see it, and the illustrations and all of those things, because there are so many components that go into a book, whether you're working with a publisher, whether you're self-publishing. And those of you who listen to Word of Mom Radio, we've introduced a lot of different options to you for publishers that are doing boutique work, that have guides for you. If you're going to self-publish, here you go. All the different things. And you know, Julie, there's a lot of ins and outs, whether you're working with a publisher or you self-publish, that you have to be aware of. And it cuts down on the strain for you and for any author if you have that little bit of cushion behind you. I have to ask you, for you, were there any authors that inspired you to become an author, or that just even before you became an author, just being able to make up your own stories? Because many people don't have that, trying to create a story for their kids, component that you have to have. So who got you?
Well, I don't know that an author inspired me to write, but the authors that inspired me to keep going with publishing are the authors who failed. J.K. Rowling, Stephen King, their novels are rejected over and over and over many times. And obviously, I'm not writing novels. I'm not in the same genre. I'm not in the same category. But just knowing how many times they were told no, like there is a huge sense of failure in being an author. Anytime you submit to an agent or a publisher, you either hear nothing or you get more rejections than you do yeses. So it's really just hearing no and feeling rejected over and over and having that feeling of, I'm not good enough as an author. My writing's not good enough. Kids don't like my writing. Looking at all the other authors who are successful, who, what if they would have given up? You know, their books never would have become published, and now they're huge, well-known, best-selling authors, and everybody loves the stories that they write. So it's just looking at other authors' sense of failure and knowing when I feel that failure, just to keep going with it, and hope that eventually somebody will like my book. And it has happened with The Strange Thing Forest. The publisher did say yes. And when I read to kids and I see the reactions, I'm reassured that my audience likes my works. I know the kids like it, even if the publishers don't, even if the agents don't. And I also realize even if they don't want to publish it right now, it may just be that they're looking for a different genre or a different style or a different theme. So it's not necessarily me as an author or my writing. It's just not fitting into what they're looking for. So just keeping that in perspective, I think, inspires me to keep moving forward.
That's good advice to a lot of people, because it's true. When you put yourself out there, you're going to get more no's than you get yeses for the most part. And take the no, it's a not now. As you said, it could just be not the right time. You could resubmit that book 2 years later and they jump all over it. You never know. But I think very often we take it so personally, especially as women. And no. It's business. There's nothing personal in it. So just keep going. If you have the dream to do it, just do it. Mm-hmm. And if you self-publish, you self-publish. So many people have made an art of self-publishing at this point, you know, and it's out there and it should be done. So as we're wrapping things up, Julie, what do you want to leave our listeners with, and how may they reach out to you?
I would just say, if you have a passion, pursue it. And if you don't know how, YouTube is a great resource. Go, you know, if you want to self-publish a book, go to YouTube and type in how to self-publish a book. You're going to see all kinds of people with all kinds of videos. Just start listening to them until one of them inspires you or sparks something. And it doesn't have to be about books. It can be about any passion or any hobby. So if you're like, I want to do this, I just don't know where to go, I don't know where to find information, YouTube, Google, there's tons of information out there that'll at least spark some passion or ideas to help you take that action, to take the first step. So pursue it. I would definitely encourage everybody to do that. If anyone wants to reach out to me, I do have a website. It's www.juliebomerbooks.com. My name is only spelled with an I, no E at the end. So Julie is J-U-L-I. Bohmer is B-O-H-M-E-R. So www.juliebomerbooks.com.
All of Julie's links and all of the links to each of her books will be live on wordofmomradio.com. I encourage you to reach out. They're fun books. So many of you have littles at home or grandchildren. They're fun. And let's face it, learning to count, learning to find things, all of these things that are geared for the smaller kids. And then Strange Thing Forest, as we're getting older and sparking more imagination, they're really fun books that are going to encourage your kids to just keep reading, because the younger you teach them, it was funny. My daughter was an avid reader like me. My sons did not like to read. I used to get them anything. I didn't care. Magazines that had sneakers in them and stuff like that when they were little, because anything that they could read. And then each one of them at one point in school, middle school, had a book they had to read that caught them. And that made them readers. Even though they were always read to and story time and everything else, it comes to kids as it comes to kids. Keep encouraging them. Keep encouraging them because reading is a wonderful thing. And Julie, I thank you so much for sharing your books, sharing your inspiration, and being brave enough when your little one said, I love it, to actually turn it into a book. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. So congratulations to you.
Thank you, Dori.
You are very welcome. And thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being with us. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters and the Sunday Drivers. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure. She is strong. She is